June 9, 2015, compiled by Dave Humphrey from the archived newspapers held at the Cranbrook History Center and Archives, 1917 conscription. A public meeting of citizens of Cranbrook and district is called for Sunday evening at 8:30 p.m. in the auditorium. The purpose of the meeting is to discuss conscription, the all-absorbing topic throughout Canada. Reserved seats for ladies and their escorts. Supt. A.C. Harshaw will act as chairman. Recruits. Cranbrook bears the proud distinction of supplying more recruits for overseas than any town of its size in Canada. The depleted ranks in Flanders need reinforcements. Cranbrook will do its duty. Court case. A case laid under the 537th section of the Criminal Code of Canada by John Blifar against Mrs. F. Magro was heard at the police court last week. After a long session lasting through Wednesday morning and all day Friday, in which many witnesses were examined and cross-examined by the contending counsels, the case was dismissed. Mrs. Magro was accused of causing the death of a pigeon, the property of her neighbor. Judge Arnold, in summing up, said that there was no evidence to prove who actually killed the bird, or how the bird was killed. He therefore dismissed the case, each party to pay their own costs. A. B. McDonald appeared for the prosecution and A.I. Fisher of Fernie for the defense. Rules of the road. Owners and drivers of motor cars and other vehicles are warned to observe the rules of the road. Speed not to exceed 10 miles per hour inside the city limits. Speed not to exceed 12 miles per hour outside the city in wooded country. Speed not to exceed 25 miles per hour outside the city in open country. Drive always on the left-hand side of the road. On meeting a vehicle, keep to the left. On overtaking and passing a vehicle, pass to the right. Slow down at all crossings. No person under the age of 17 years of age shall drive or operate a motor car upon or along any highway. No intoxicated person or person under the influence of intoxicating liquor shall drive a motor upon or along any highway. Every motor car must at all times between dusk and dawn carry a lighted lamp so placed at the back of the car as to illuminate the number plate. And such a motor car shall also display a red light visible from the rear. Every motor car shall be provided with a lock, key or other device to motion, and no motor shall be permitted to stand or remain in or upon any highway unless locked with such lock, key or device. Proper attention to the above rules of the road will reduce the risk of accident to a minimum. B.C. Hersey, Chief of Police, Police Commissioner's Report. Meeting held on Tuesday, June 12. In attendance, His Worship the Mayor, Alderman Eakin, Commissioner Parrott. The Chief of Police reported as follows, to His Worship the Mayor and the Police Commissioners. Gentlemen, I have the honor to submit for your approval my report of the Police Department for the month of May 1917. Prisoners in cells at midnight April 30, 0. Prisoners received during the month 5. Prisoners were disposed of as follows, released time expired, 0, released fines, 2, released discharged with caution, 1, awaiting disposal on remand, 2. Total 5. Prisoners classified as under, whites, males, 5. Accounts received for the month, Cranbrook Trading Company, groceries, $2.35, P. Burns & Company, meat, 55c, R. Frame, bread, 1.00. Total $3.90. 16 meals were served to prisoners in May. Police court fines amount to $10. Dog taxes collected, $129. Pound fines, $7. Total $146. All dog taxes have been collected by me, and some dogs destroyed, but there still remain a number of stray dogs in town. I have noticed that horses and cattle tethered out on vacant lots seem to attract animals in from the outside. Holes and bad places in the roadways and defective places in the sidewalk have been brought to the notice of the city engineer. Instructions have been received by this department from the City Council to enforce the Motor Car Act. These instructions are being carried out. The pool room and billiard room by law, which became effective during the month, is now in full operation. All pool rooms have been notified by me, and an opportunity given them to read and make themselves acquainted with the by-law. Have the honor to be, gentlemen, your obedient servant. B.C. Hersey, Chief. The chief of police read copies of letters he had sent to Father Lambot with regard to the First Nation dog nuisance, and to Mr. J. Roberts with regard to unsanitary condition of his cesspool. Quotations for police uniforms were presented by the chief from Fink Mercantile Company, McCreary Bros and G. Niblock. It was decided that an order be given to Fink Mercantile Company, for a suit and cap for the chief and constable and to McCreary Bros, for two pair of boots. Letter regarding Pye's death. France, May 14, 1917. Dear Mrs. Pye, that I haven't written sooner is because I wasn't very well. Words are empty. My heart aches for you, and for myself. I go about all lost, and yet Dave would not have you grieve. Rest assured that he has found peace and happiness. Clean in thought and speech, always taking the bigger burden, principled, respected sincerely by officers and men. He influenced the lives of all for good. 20 years from now his memory will still inspire those who knew him intimately to walk upright, never to stoop to meanness or things ignoble. He died with a little quiet smile still hovering on his lips. I was with him. Before you could draw two breaths there was a flash and a roar, and Dave was gone. He had no marks of suffering, he had no time for pain. Just a quiet little smile, but my friend was gone. We laid him to rest with reverence and with love. I inscribed a cross. He sleeps peacefully in a valley looking towards the hills he loved. Maybe soon I shall join him. I enclose a few photos of his, coming separately. I also have two watches. All the other things I have sent off. I will try to answer anything you ask me. I feel lonely now. Yours sincerely, Thomas W. Hall. Letter from Private H. Clark. Another letter from Private Herbert Clark to Mr. J. F. Smith, dated May 13, reports him to be well. He has now been in France 6 weeks, had just come out of the trenches for a couple of days' rest after being in for about 2 weeks. He was in the front line for some time and made one trip into no man's land. Writing about being under fire, he says, I am glad to say it has not bothered me much though. It is not nice to hear the shells rushing by and exploding in front of you and behind you and making clouds of dust and smoke. The machine guns too make quite a racket, especially at night. They sound a good deal like a duck's, quack quack, and the bullets sing quite nicely. I cannot, nor do I think anyone could, describe things as they are. I spent several days on one famous battlefield, for over 2 years, and I was with a party for 2 days salvaging stuff. All kinds of things, rifles, bombs, clothing, cartridges, bayonets, etc. Our guns and men are far superior to the HX's, and it is great to see our big guns bursting in the German lines. Our organization is wonderful, they seem to provide for everything. We are well fed, even in the trenches, and they give us new socks sometimes. I think I told you I saw Dr. Bell. I think he is a major in the AMC now. Mr. Gordon Smith, who used to be in the land department, is an officer in our regiment. He is well liked by us. You see some queer things here. There are, as you know, lots of graveyards back of the line, and sometimes a big shell will dig a man up after he is planted. Engineer's report for the month of May 1917. To the mayor and aldermen of the city of Cranbrook, gentlemen, I beg to make my report for the past month. Water. 11 leaks were repaired during the month, one of which on Norbury Avenue, was very troublesome owing to the fact that it was immediately adjacent to the creek. 3 leaky hydrants were also repaired, and the defective parts replaced. During the month, trouble was caused by clogging of the screen at the intake of the city water main, due to the large amount of floating material and mud brought down by the high water in St. Joseph's Creek. The result was considerable lowering of pressure throughout the system. The pressure was slow in recovery owing to the quantity of air drawn into the main. To assist in the quick recovery of pressure, the main was tapped at the principal summit, and a blow-off inserted. It is my intention to insert 2 more at the remaining high summits on the pipeline. These cocks will greatly assist in the recovery of pressure in future, as the existing air valves are apparently apt to become inoperative in the spring, when most needed, due to freezing in the winter. 6 thaw-outs were made during the month, 3 of which were chargeable to private parties. 4 plumbing permits were issued during the month. Streets, ashes, some of which were hauled under Warden's contract, have been used to assist in filling up holes in roads caused by settlement, etc. Gravel was hauled for the same purpose on Baker Street and portions of Norbury, Armstrong, and Hanson Avs. The latter streets were also cleaned and cleared of weeds. Broken planks on sidewalks were replaced. Lewis Street Bridge was riprapped to prevent sinking caused by the high water. The earthen roads in the south portion of the city were dragged on two occasions with a road drag. Four culverts were built, three on Keynes Street, one on Van Horn Street. Sewerage. The ditch leading from the disposal works to the irrigation tract was cleaned throughout and slightly enlarged, and a broken flume on same repaired in readiness for the summer months. The sewers were flushed, and a stoppage at the city hall was cleared. Four sewer connections were made during the month. The matter of calcomining or whitewashing the jail and police quarters was referred to the Fire and Police Committee with power to act. W.M. H.E.C. Mutt and Jeff's Wedding, played at the auditorium on Friday night last. There was a goodly number present and the performance was greatly appreciated by all. We wish to commend them on the high character of their performance as there was nothing to offend even the most fastidious. Knox Picnic. The annual Sunday School Picnic of Knox Presbyterian Church will be held on the afternoon of 23rd Inst. Automobiles will leave the Sunday School room continuously from 1 o'clock to 2:30 to convey the children and parents to the picnic grounds. The parents are urged to be present and assist in making it an enjoyable afternoon for the children. Bridge, Roberts. On Wednesday morning at 10 o'clock, Christ Church was the scene of a very pretty wedding when Miss Mabel Roberts and the Reverend W.H. Bridge were united in marriage. The officiating clergyman was the Reverend H.W. Simpson of Greenwood. The service was fully choral, the choir being composed of members of the Eager Heart Club, of which the bride was organizer. Mrs. Edmondson played the organ, accompanied by Mrs. Arnold Wallinger on the violin. The bride entered the church on the arm of Dr. F.W. Green. She was charmingly gowned in white crepe de chine with pearl and silk lace trimming and wore a dainty veil of point d'esprit draped over a wreath of orange blossoms and carried a bouquet of bride's roses. Miss Betty Green, as maid of honor, was dressed in white point d'esprit and was followed by the groom's little daughters in pretty white muslin frocks carrying pink sweet peas. The Reverend A.B. Lane of Fernie supported the groom. After signing the register, the bridal party proceeded to the parish hall where they were tendered a reception by Mrs. and Miss Charrington. The hall was tastefully decorated for the occasion with an abundance of flowers. In the center of the room was a large table on which the many presents were displayed. A bevy of the bride's friends served the guests with dainty refreshments at small tables. After the happy couple had received the good wishes of their many friends, Mr. Cock, on behalf of the congregation, presented their gift of a check, which Mr. Bridge acknowledged in a neat speech. Various toasts were proposed and duly honored. The bride's going-away costume was of black taffeta with pink blouse and hat. On their return from Spokane, where the honeymoon will be spent, Mr. and Mrs. Bridge will be welcomed back to Cranbrook by their host of friends. Nonpartisan League. A home meeting of the Nonpartisan League was held on Thursday at the residence of Mrs. Hersey. This is the first of a series of home meetings of a more or less informal nature which will be held at various members' houses for the discussion of subjects in which the League is interested. A further study was made of the laws regarding women and children. After considerable discussion, several motions were adopted and ordered to be brought up at the next general meeting. It was also decided that advice and cooperation should be asked of other similar organizations throughout the province with a view to strengthening the position of women in BC, in the stand for pure politics and wise reform.